Lord, your majesty, divine authority,
hallowed be your name. Lord, we give you all the glory and honor. Yeah. Want to thank you for the privilege to come into your presence again. We thank you for the gifts of life. Thank you for counting us worthy. Father, we are here again to learn at your feet. We have come. We open up unto you, Lord. Let your word find entrance into our lives, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, you know that I stand here. I have nothing of my own. Your children, they have come to meet with you. They came because of you. They came because they know you're waiting. They came because they know you have something for them. Father, I'm only but a piece of microphone. Come and speak to your children the word that you have for them. I want to be spoken to also. I want to learn of you, O Lord. Come and teach us by yourself in the mighty name of Jesus. I disappear and ask that the Holy Spirit will take over in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of glory. I cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I cover this environment with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Everyone that you have chosen to be in this place today, the devil will not chase them in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. In
Amen.
Jesus' mighty name we are prayed.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good. Welcome everybody to the presence of God this evening. I know it's not easy. But because you have come, you will not go the same way in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We just have a very familiar topic, something we are going to be discussing together. Brother Femi. Our topic is love and forgiveness. Love and forgiveness. And our text is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. We'll be reading from verse 1 to 9. 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 1. To verse 9. And it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have no love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there are knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Praise the Lord. That portion we have read has covered everything about love, has covered everything about forgiveness. If we say we love, we should be able to forgive. If we say we love, and we are exhibiting everything that has been enumerated in this Bible passage, then the love of God is not in us. Nevertheless, we are going to be, looking at what love is. What is love? Love is intense feeling of deep affection, a feeling of fondness, tenderness, warmth, intimacy, attachment, endearment. And I will quickly just mention a few types of love that the Bible talks about, two in particular, but I'm going to mention four. The first one is storge, which is empathy bond. This is the natural love, such as parents will have to their offspring. Another one is philia, friendship bond. That's the love between friends, like as in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1 to 3. Because we are not talking about types of love now, I will only mention the Bible portion. You can write it and may decide to read it, but I know you know it. So I was saying that philia is a friendship bond, that is the love between good friends. And we can see that in 1 Samuel chapter 18 from verse 1 to 3. We talk about eros, erotic or sexual bond, which is seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 18 and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3. We talk about agape love, which is unconditional love, that is God's love, most powerful and sacrificial love. You can see that in Luke chapter 10 from verse 25 to 37, that is the parable of the Good Samaritan. I am not going into that because that's not what we are here for. We're going to be looking at what forgiveness is to. We say that forgiveness is to stop feeling anger towards someone who has done something wrong. Forgiveness is to stop blaming somebody for a wrong, or to stop requiring payment for either as a kind of punishment or for wrongdoing, or to payment for money owed. That is forgiveness. If you can write off the debt, you can just say, okay, let it go. That is forgiveness. Now, God is love. Let's see the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. God is love. John 4, 7 and 8. The beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Anyone that does not love does not know what God is. And anyone that does not love God cannot love any other person. Praise the Lord. God himself is love. Praise the Lord. We are going to be talking about God's love for us. We can see God's love for us, demonstration of God's love for us in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 3. I have some short Bible passages to read. Then after that, we'll contribute. And he said, The Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God hath loved us. God loves us. His love is demonstrated. The reason why we are alive, or can see today, is because of the love of God. If God did not love us, I don't think we'll be here. He demonstrates his love in every aspect of our lives. Praise the Lord. The Lord appeared unto us, saying, yeah, I have loved thee. And he's still saying to you today, I have loved you, and I'm still loving you. His loving kindness does not cease. It's continuous. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. We are looking at the way God loves us. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and had raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is only love that can do that. Look at the privilege. Look at the privilege. We were sinners. We're not even serving him. We didn't even know him. We're not even doing the right things. But he gave us the grace, forgive us our sin, brought us to the level of even agreeing that we should share his glory. We should share his, the place of his, the way he is exalted position in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That is the love of God to us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. His love, the love of God, he has bestowed upon us. He had loved us so much that he made us to be called the sons of God. Those of us that are not even worthy to even to be named where God is named. But because of love, he has brought us to himself, not looking at our ways, make us to be his children. The world will not accept us. But when you love God, you are in the love of God. The world cannot love you. They didn't love him, so you don't expect them to love you. If the world still loves you, they are pleased with you, then you are, the love of God is not in you, and you are not of God yet. Because the moment you are separated from the world, it will show, and the world cannot love you. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. What that love? Greater love had no man than this, that a man should send to lay down his life for his friend. Who among us can lay down his life for a friend? Can I lay down my life for my husband? Okay, I love my husband very well. I love him so much. He's my friend. He's my only friend, my confidence. No matter what happens, it's still my husband. We share everything together. But if they bring gun and say, I want to shoot you because of him, will I be able to say, okay, I'll take that bullet? But look at the kind of love that God had for us. The only son that he had. I have only one son, so I know what it means. And then I will give down my son to go and die, to pay the price of the sin he never committed. Such love is not found except in Christ. That is the love of God for us. Now, how does God show his love to us? How does he really show his love to us? You can see that in John chapter 3, 16 and 17. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That is love. He sent his Son into the world, not to condemn us, but he came to set us free, to liberate us, to bring us out from the bondage of sin. It's only love that can do that. Somebody is offending you, committing sin, doing all manner of things without even recognizing you. And then you send your son to come and die to deliver them from that predicament. He can only be God. That's why God is love. God himself is love. And because he wants us to be like him, we too should be loved. We should be able to love like him. Praise the Lord. God demonstrates his love to us in John chapter 15, verse 13. John 15, 13. Greater love had no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend. Romans 5, 7 and 8. For sincerely, for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he demonstrated his love to us. That was the demonstration of his love for us, dying for us. No man would dare die for any man. Let us not deceive ourselves. I have not seen it yet. Maybe as we are growing, you know, advancing in the Lord, maybe we will get there. And may we get there in Jesus' name. Yeah. But it's only God that has been able to demonstrate such love to us. And we are not taking it for granted. We pray for grace to be able to reciprocate in the mighty name of Jesus. The demonstration, how does God show his love to us? 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. It is saying the same thing, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God. He didn't send his Son because we loved him. It's okay, because they love me so much, let me send my Son to go and die for them. That was not the case. But he sent him that we might live, that we might live through him. Here is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the same thing that he's still saying. Sending his Son to die for us. It's repeated in so many places. It is the greatest sacrifice that anyone can do for his friend. It is the greatest sacrifice that God has made for us. What else do we want him to do to show us that he loves us? After he has sent his Son to die a shameful death, a painful death, which we all know about, demonstrating his love to us, what else do we really want him to do for us to demonstrate his love for us? Why should there be anything that will stop us from loving him? Should there be anything that will stop us from getting connected and staying in him, knowing that there is no other way out? God shows his love to us, as you can see in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29:11. I'm not preaching, I'm just reading the Bible portions because I want us to discuss. I want us to teach ourselves. We have so many people that know 100% more than what I know, so we have to teach ourselves. Praise God. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Before somebody can have good plans for you, that person loves you. Like the love of our parents. See, they'll sit down and plan, okay, I will do this at this time, I'll do that for you. But sometimes they cannot, most of the time, they fail to, you know, to actually carry out the plans that they have made for the children, because they are limited. But God is not limited in any way. So if he has said the thought that he thinks towards us are thoughts of peace, not of evil. Some translations say thoughts of good, not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. So what else do I really need? Why should I allow myself to be deceived? Why should I allow anything or anybody to toss me around when I have a God that has given me such a promise? In fact, everything that we need is in this promise. What are we fighting for? We are fighting for a better future. A child that is born and starts from primary one to go to from nursery one and all that is aspiring to be better. We are all looking for a better tomorrow. You're jumping in the morning, afternoon, and night just to make ends meet because you want a better tomorrow for your children. It's all about what happens to us tomorrow. And there's a promise here that said, he said that he's thinking how he will make us to achieve that. So may the Lord help us to understand and stop fretting in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. How can we dwell in God's love? How can we dwell in God's love? John 14:21. He that had my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. We can dwell in the love of God when we love him. when we keep his commandment. He said, when we keep his commandment, that means we love him. When we love him, he said, loveth me, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That means if we don't love him, we cannot earn the love of his Father, and he cannot manifest himself to us. Every time we pray, Father, manifest your glory, manifest your glory. If we don't love him, we are just wasting our time. The condition is that we should keep his commandment and that we should love him. And then when we love him, his Father will love us and he will manifest himself to us. How does God manifest himself to us? When we call upon him in time of trouble, he will answer us. He will be in charge of the affairs of our lives. He will be in charge of the affairs of our children. Whatever it is that is troubling us, we don't have to break our head so much. As long as we are keeping his commandment, as long as we are in his, within the instruction that we are following the instruction as it is written in the word of God, we don't really have anything to fear. The Bible said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That thing that is threatening us, that is rumbling like the waves of the sea on a daily basis. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Fear not. The love of the Father is so strong. He loves us so much that he will not look at us and allow us to sink unless we don't deserve his love. But when we deserve his love, he will never allow the devil to toss us around. He fights for us because he loves us. It's only when we step out of that love that we suffer. We can remain in his love when we keep his commandment. He's not asking too much of us. He's even the one that is doing all the sacrifice to make us, to have a better tomorrow. All he needs from us is to keep his commandments. Love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Love God. That's all. What other thing does he want us to do? Be ye holy as I am holy. And the grace for us to be holy, the grace for us to keep his commandments, he has already released it to us. It's not that it's impossible. It's a choice. You can choose to keep his commandment. Because as long as we continue to be connected to him, and connected to the word, connected in the place of prayer, and allow us to be led by the Holy Spirit, we cannot deviate. Because the Spirit of God, when he leads us, he leads us into all truth. He does not lead us to evil. The Holy Spirit will always guide us and make sure that we don't fall. We have a choice of not falling into that temptation. We have a choice. Praise the Lord. How can we dwell in God's love? 1 John 2:5. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected hereby. Know we that we are in him. Keepeth his word. When we keep his word, the love of God will be perfected in us. Day by day, as we read his word and keep it in our hearts, and not just hearing it and doing nothing about it, but meditating upon it. Because the word of God that we read and hear every day, when circumstances arise, the Holy Spirit reminds us of those words. But we just choose not to listen. And then we do what is in our hearts. But the Bible here says, Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. How do we know that we are in him? We will know that we are in him when all is well with us. We will know that we are in him when we can look back and say, yes, at least today, I have not done anything wrong. Praise the Lord. Not by our power, but by his grace. God does not deceive anyone. When we abide by his rules, he does his own part. We have our own part to play. The love of God cannot be perfected in us if we don't keep his word. If we don't even care about what the word says. If we stop asking, and we are not doing anything. is dangerous. How can we dwell in God's love? Let's see 1 John 4:19. Go to 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. It's not that we love him because of nothing. We are selfish. Because we are loving him, because he loved us, because of all that we are gaining from him. That's why we tend to want to come to him. If we're coming and we are not receiving anything, I don't think anyone wants to come back tomorrow. Because at most of the time, we come to him because of what we are going to get. Not because we really love him. But yet, he still loves us. He does not look at the way we treat him. We are talking about the love of God today. We are talking about how we can dwell in the love of God. We can dwell when we love him. As he's loving us, we should love him in return. See what Jude 21b says. I want somebody to read that portion.
Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Praise the Lord. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He's talking to me. Joyce, keep yourself in the love of God. If I want to have eternal life, if I must, merit the mercies of God, I should keep myself in his love. When I jump out of his love, I don't have any coverage. The Bible says, when we break the hedge, that the serpent will bite. The serpent does not bite when the hedge is still intact. My daughter sent a photograph this evening. One handsome young boy. That was their classmate. Just died yesterday. That boy schooled in New York here. Graduated. Went back to Nigeria. What has happened? He had an accident. And he died last night. I'm not judging him. But as I can see the picture, I don't know. You know, I don't know. What I could sell them, I just said, this is why I'm saying you cannot afford to disconnect from God. Because the days are evil. I mean, friends from Grace Friends are just dying. You are not better than them. So stay connected. The only way to be free. May the Lord not let us break the hedge in the name of Jesus. We will not step out of his love in the mighty name of Jesus. Even our children, they will not step out of his love in the name of Jesus. I will briefly touch forgiveness. Then we start discussing. Can there be forgiveness without love? There are two questions I want us to answer when I finish talking now. How can we dwell in the love of God? That's number one we'll answer. Number two question is, can there be forgiveness without love? Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Is it easy? Is it that easy? Is it very easy? So love those that you know that somebody hates you. You love the person passionately. Is it easy? He takes the Spirit of God, but here it is a command. He didn't say, try to. Maybe you should. He said, but I say unto you. I say unto you is a command. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. So no matter what they do, love them. When you love, you'll be able to forgive. But if you don't love, you cannot forgive. Let's see Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. You want to be forgiven. Now sometimes something happens and when we begin to drag too much. And I'm like, if God were to count how many times we offend him, we will all be dead men by now. So why can't we forgive one another? Why do we drag issues? 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, we're still remembering, still going back to what happened. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven you. That's the commandment. And finally, let's look at Romans chapter 12, 16 to 21. Still talking about forgiveness. Can we forgive without love? Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not high things. Be condescend to men of low estate. Come down, that is come down. Be not wise in your own eyes. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If possible, as much as you can, try hard. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. That means there's no way, offenses won't come. So we should already make allowance for it. That it can come, oh, when it comes, nevertheless, God will answer for us. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt keep coals of fire on his head. 21 and the last. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Praise the Lord. I don't know if whatever I have said has made sense. But what I want us to teach ourselves is, how can we dwell in the love of God? And can there be forgiveness without love? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can there be forgiveness without love? How can we dwell in the love of God? God is love, we know. He loves us, but can we dwell in his love? What shall we do to remain in his love?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Our deaconess has done justice to this topic tonight. Yeah. Because is it in that 1 Corinthians 13 and the last verse? 1 Corinthians 13 and the last verse. Yeah, it's working on it. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, which is love. The greatest is love. Our deaconess asked two questions that we need to consider. One is it possible for us to forgive without love? I know we are likely going to be differ in answer to these questions, because I believe that the Bible commanded us to love, and whether we like it or not, we should love. But is it possible for us to forgive without love? I want to say yes. Many times, we have to love Because we have to. Because it is commanded. Because it is a must for us, we don't have any other alternative. So whether we like that fellow or we don't, the Bible says we should love. So we have to love. It's a commandment of God. So whether we like that person, I mean, whether we have to forgive, whether we like that person or we don't, we have to forgive. Because in Luke 11, verse 13 or so, the Bible says that if we do not forgive those who wronged us, our sins will not be forgiven. That's what the scripture says. It's a commandment of God, so we have to obey. And love is so critical. Love is so big. Apart from this scripture that says, of these three, love is the greatest. The entire commandment was now reduced to love. In Matthew 22, if we read from 34 to 39, Matthew 22, I'm going to read from 34 to 39. But the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence. They were gathered. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The first and the greatest commandment is based on love, the love of God. Continue. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Continue. Oh, 39. We can see, this is Jesus Christ himself speaking. The entire law, all the don't steal, he reduced and condensed them and based them on the love for God and the love for our neighbor. This shows how big love is. We need to love. We have to love. And if we can settle the love questions, then we don't have any other challenges. If we can only settle the love question, if we can just love God the way he wanted us to love him and love our neighbors the way he has commanded us, then everything will fall in the right places. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor hear her, neither have it entered into the heart of men, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. If we can only love God, what God has prepared for those who love him, the Bible says we have not even imagined it. We can't think of it. We can't fathom it. If we can just settle that love question, I pray that the Almighty God will help us. That we will love him and we will love our neighbor like we love ourselves. In the name of Jesus.
Okay, sir, I want to ask that in prayer a question. You have been talking about, you have been stressing on the love, the need to love, because it's a commandment that we should love. What is the place of forgiveness? What are you saying about forgiveness? I want you to say something about forgiveness.
Yes,
question I'm still asking, I say, can there be forgiveness without love?
Yes, I said Like love is a commandment. Forgiveness too is a commandment. I think I could get it. It's in Luke 11, verse 13. If I'm not mistaken. Luke 11. If back, okay, go, come earlier.
12.
Verse 9. Okay, the scripture says that if we do not forgive, our Father in heaven will not forgive us. So, it's a commandment. In fact, if it is a commandment, you don't have any choice. We rob God every now and then. And the only condition for us for our sins to be forgiven is that we have to forgive others. And Jesus Christ demonstrated even with so many parables when he was here doing his earthly ministry. He told us about a debtor that forgave, his master forgave him. And this guy who was just a little, a fraction of what he hold the big man, he said, no, he's going to put that fellow in jail if he doesn't pay him back. And whatever was forgiving him was withdrawn and was one that now spent time in jail. Jesus Christ is demonstrating for us how important, how big we should take the issue of forgiveness. So it's very, very important. Whether you like my face or you don't like the way I walk, if I offend you, you still have to forgive me. Because it's a commandment for you, for your sins to be forgiven and for you to make it to heaven. I pray that God will help us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is a topic that is very, 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 very important to a believer going to heaven. It is as important as that. Why? If you look at the John 15 that we read, there were so many breakdowns in that John 15 that points to our love. And if you look at it, why did he continue to stress on abide in me and I in you? Jesus Christ is love. If ye keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my law, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his law. Brethren, if you don't hate, if you don't love, you have already, you know, gone against the two major commandments. They say, this is my commandment. This is my commandment. That ye love one another as I have loved you. What type of love Jesus has for us? He died for us, right? And he's telling you that you should love your brother. That is unto death. That's only as the Father had loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. Next verse. If you keep my commandment, ye shall abide in my love. So if you don't keep that commandment, you can't abide in his love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might what? Be full. If you don't love, your joy cannot be full. That's the meaning. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. See how many times he's repeating that? 13. The one that you read. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It's now reminding us again. See what I have done for you. Ye are my friend if ye do whatsoever I command you. So you can't be a friend of Jesus. And you see many people saying, I have a friend in Jesus, and they don't love. You are not a friend of Jesus. It's as simple as ABC. I mean, this is the word of God. This is his own word. Ye are my friend if ye do whatsoever I command you. Next verse, please. Sorry, ma'am.
Please, that's that verse you just read now.
Yes, ma'am.
Is what I was looking for.
Okay.
Put it back, Femi, let's talk about it. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And the question is that, how can we dwell in God's love? We can only dwell in God's love when we do what he commands us. If we don't do what he commands us to do, we cannot dwell in his love.
I agree with you 100%. Let's go 15.
So continue, sir.
15. Henceforth, I call you not servant. Before, they refer to people working, you know, for God, they call them servant. He is telling us here. That's why when you see our father in the Lord, okay, he will tell you that he's my daddy. And he knows the reason why he's what he said. He's not his servant. He's his friend. He's his son. I think you get my point. Now look at this. Henceforth, I call you not servant. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. That's why you see that when every other people are saying something about you, remember the election in Nigeria, there were all these prophets who were coming out. Oh, this person will win, this person will win. He told them, he knows the person who is going to win. All these people talking, the person they are mentioning will not win. Does that not come out? Because he revealed it to him. His friend, 17, I'm fine on that. These things I command you, that you love one another. Love me. Love one another. Once you love, based on what that the prayer talked about, if you don't forgive, I will not forgive you. It's as simple. That's why he ended it with these things I command you, that ye love one another. If you look at the next verse, it's talking about the world. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before you. So he's now telling you that if you join up with the world, forget about the love of God. The love of God is not in you. There must be a way. He will tell you, move away. If you look at all the scriptures, they are one way or the other connected. Praise the name of the Lord.
We have 5 minutes more. Once it's a quarter past, I'm going to stop. So whoever is contributing. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So it is compulsory. If you must be forgiven, you have to forgive. No negotiation.
My short contribution is just to the question, one of the questions you asked, and can there be a forgiveness without God? Is that the question? Is that what you asked, man? What was your question?
My question is, question one has been answered. So answer question two. Can there be forgiveness without love? That's the second one.
Okay, can there be forgiveness without love? I want to say that actually forgiveness is bred out of love. If you don't love, he cannot forgive. Jesus, the Bible recorded that God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God, the forgiveness that we see today, that we enjoy today as children of God, as a result of the love that God has for us as his children. So, in order for you, you cannot forgive someone that you don't love. It's not to me. But I don't think that it's possible except with deceiving yourself. So you genuinely have to, even though I agree that the commandment that God gave us is to love, but still, God sees the heart of man and sees the intent of man. You don't need to say, yes, this is a commandment, but God sees your heart to see if you genuinely, you're actually living in that love, even though it's a commandment. So you might be speaking it with your mouth, okay, God says, I should love, I want to love, but in your heart, you are not loving. But God is going to judge us by what is in our heart content is what God says, even though man says in our content. So I want to believe that, my own is that I don't think you can forgive without love. You have to be able to love, to forgive. It's actually love that will make you to forgive. Because of love, let me forgive you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If somebody offends us, what do we do to let go and be able to move with that person? It's a question. What are the things you do? How can you work on yourself to let go and be in the better terms, working yourself back? Trying to, you know, what do we do? How do we do it?
You forget
about how, mommy? You start to pray. And you start to pray. What are the prayer you are praying for? Give me what? The grace to let go. And the love that is needed to let go. So there is no way, mommy and daddy, that we can forgive anybody.
Without
except
love.
We allow the love of God to come in.
That's it.
Unless I tell you, mommy, I'm forgiving you. I know in my heart that I lie. I might say it so that people there at that time, I want to remember, hey, there's no problem, it's okay. And as soon as I walk in, say, okay, forgive me, God, forgive me, Connie. It doesn't mean that next morning when I see you, in fact, the moment you are coming out, I'll just go to sleep. But we must ask God
for grace.
Why is it that when there's a problem between husband and wife, what at the end of the day, what helped us to come back? Because somebody like, this woman, I know what I went through, God. Okay. I love her. I have no choice. God help me. So we need to double it. Is it easy? I'm not going to lie, but it's not easy.
It's not.
I'm telling you, man, that lady that accused me in my office, that they called me in and said she accused me for sexual harassment. I'm being honest here. It took me almost 2 months for me to say a word. Even when I walked in and she greets me, I pretend as if she's not greeting me. You know? I pretend like it's not me that she's greeting. Because of pain. She finally came one day and said, she's too far from me like this. I said, Mo, I'm sorry. I can see that you are really angry with me. You have never been like this. I said, you want to end my life? Look at the step you took. He said, I was advised. I said, okay, who are the people? He said, if I tell you, that will turn to another thing. Let's just leave it this way. And I had to ask God to help me. So the Lord will help us.
Amen.
We face this challenge every day. It's something that we go through. But we know by grace. Look at my sister there. Sister Dami is always offending me.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord will give us the grace to forgive one another in the name of Jesus. We don't have a choice. We just have to forgive. But if we must tell ourselves the truth, because if the love of God is not in us, we cannot forgive. Because that forgiveness is not easy. It's divine, you know. You can just say, okay, this one, just leave her for God. That you're leaving her for God is not forgiveness. Yes. I leave her for God. You have not forgiven me. You are still holding it. You just say that one so that to cover up, as Pastor has said. So we really need the grace to love. Love our enemies. That's why the instruction says we should love our enemies. We should do good to our enemies. We should love them, show them love. Don't do what they do to you, don't do to them. That is the forgiveness. The Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. We don't want to be hearers only, O God. We want to be doers of your word. The grace, O Lord, for us to abide in your love, we receive this evening in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we also receive the grace to love one another and to be able to forgive completely for the glory of your name in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory, for in Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah. Bring us to report your hand to our deacons that have just led us tonight.